I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. May been in this thing 45 years, but I'm not done yet. This is not just for our honorees, but this is for whoever is here. Anybody under the sound of my voice, how about you say it with me? Say, I'm not done yet. Don't know what you face, don't know what you've dealt with, don't know what you're going through, don't know how it looks, but I need you to announce to the devil, I'm not done yet. May look bad, may look rough, may not seem like it's going to make it, but you got to have something down in your spirit that I'm not done yet. Might be in the fourth quarter, the clock might be ticking, but I'm not done yet. So I'm going to just say a few things and then move right into the Word of God. I truly honor my parents. Thank God for who they are in my life. What's interesting to me, my father has always been my hero. And even growing up, he was always my hero. Looked like him. And, you know, so I always identified with my father. But the later I get in life, the more I see a lot of my mother in me as well. So if you were to ask me at the age of 20, how much of your father and mother do you have? I'd probably say it was 85% dad, 15% mom. But as I've gone in life, I've seen so much of mom come in as well. Mom brings some extra wisdom that I didn't know was wisdom until I got old enough to understand it was wisdom. It came out as fussing, but when I got older, I realized it wasn't really fussing, it was wisdom. There's some stuff I didn't get in because mama was fussing. I thought she was fussing, but mama was giving me some wisdom. Thank God for your wisdom, mama. Thank God for your wisdom, mama. Thank God. There's some girls that I didn't get with that I thought I wanted that mama was fussing about. But later on in life, I realized mama wasn't fussing. Mama had some wisdom. I meet some of those same ladies now, and I thank God for mama. I run into some of these ladies and I say, thank you, Joyce. Thank you, Joyce. Thank you. You caused me to skip some stuff. Thank God for the wisdom. So I thank God for her wisdom. I thank God for my father's passion. I thank God for what they have that's making me up to be who I am today. And I'm so grateful for who they are, all that they do. And I will say this, and then we're just going to go to the Word of God. My goal in life is to allow them to see some of the results of their labor before they go. They've got a lot of seed in the ground. I mean, you just wouldn't know, because they've always been the type of people that would just give. It would be a travesty. It would be a tragedy for me to get the ministry and think it's all supposed to be about me. My number one goal is before they leave this earth, I want them to get what belongs to them. Amen. So we're not going to push them out and push them to the side, because this is their reaping time. Amen. All right, let me go to the Word of God. Why are you rushing, Pastor? Because I actually have strike duty tonight, and so that means I got to go into work. I can possibly get out of it, but I'm going to preach like I'm not going to get out of it, just so I'm not going to hold y'all forever. But I know every pastor said that. Every preacher say that. So just because I say I ain't going to hold you long, that don't mean I'm telling the truth. We all say that. That's just, when you get called to preach, that's the first thing you learn is I'm not going to hold you long. Let's go to the book of Joshua, the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. Now, my mother normally reads the Word of God for me, but I'm going to allow her to rest, and I'm going to do my own reading this afternoon. I won't be as efficient and good and eloquent as you, but I just don't want you to work. I want you to receive. The scripture says this: then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea." And so, to give us just a little background, Caleb and Joshua were the two spies that were sent out that saw the promised land, and they thought, we can do this. But there were 12 spies, and there were only two of them. The other 10 came back with a bad report, and it stifled what they had in their spirit because they got outnumbered. I don't know if anybody's ever been in a situation where you see something, you feel something, you know it in your knower, but the folk around you can't see what you see. They can't feel what you feel. They can't hear what you hear. And because you're tied to them, oftentimes you can't get what belongs to you because God has tied you to them. It's a tragic thing to feel like you're supposed to be doing something, but because of the folk you are assigned to, you can't do what it feels like you should be doing. First thing that it does, if you've ever gone through that, first thing it does is make you wonder about you. I know what I heard. I know what I thought. I know what I saw. But it seems like everybody I talk to has a different report. Maybe there's something wrong with me. So you get ready to put it on the shelf. Put your faith on the shelf. Put your vision on the shelf. Put your revelation on the shelf. But every time you try to put it away, it's like fire. Shut up in your bones. And you just can't let it go. So what you end up having to do, you have to wait it out. You got to believe and wait. You got to pray and wait. You have to press and wait. You have to sow and wait. You got to forgive and wait. You got to get back up, but you still have to wait. So let's go to the next verse. Verse 7. I was 40 years old. This is Caleb talking. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. It's one thing to have a revelation that's in your heart. And when it's in your heart, you've got to birth it out like a baby. You got to go through labor pains because it's not in the atmosphere, it's in your heart. You can have something in your heart that the whole city doesn't have. But if God hasn't released you from the city, you got to birth what's in your heart. It's not always easy. You got to stand. You got to set your face like a flint. And let me just backtrack just a little bit, and I'm going to put it in the lap of my dad and my mom. There was some stuff in my daddy's heart that preachers are preaching now all across the television and the internet and YouTube. But the only thing about it, God gave it to him 30 years ago. When everybody was talking about you can't wear makeup and you can't wear pants, and he gets up talking about grace and folk walked away from him. But it was in his heart that it's supposed to be not about do's and don'ts. It's supposed to be about the grace of God. But that was not a popular message, especially in the circles that we were in. And so when he stepped out to follow God, this is what young folk believe. When you step out to follow God, it's like an escalator. The moment you put your foot on the step, you ride to the top. Oh, baby, that ain't like it is. Sometimes you step out and folk walk away from you. You step out and then you feel sharp pains in your back where folk that you thought they were down with you will stab you in their back because you have something in your heart that everybody else can't see. God gives you revelation that the atmosphere you're in is not even ready for the revelation that you have. And so what you have to do, you have to have labor pains, morning sickness. Your appetite begins to change. You can't eat what other folk eat. You can't ride what other folk ride. Just to take that analogy of the pregnancy, when you go to King's Island, they let you know if you are pregnant, you can't ride this. And when you're pregnant with revelation that everybody else can't see, that's some stuff you can't do. But here's the thing. When you are a leader, that doesn't mean God has to tell the wife what he told the husband. So that means the wife many times has to submit and trust when she don't have the same revelation. God gave my father the grace revelation, before he gave it to my mother. And so what that could have done, it could have caused friction. And it did cause friction, but they loved through the friction. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you got to come to a place in your life where you learn how to love through the friction. I don't understand you. You don't understand me, but we're together and we're going to walk it out. We're going to work it out. I don't like you. You don't like me, but we got these babies and we got to raise and we're going to find out how to put it together and work it out. All the 45 years wasn't easy, but they found out how to work it out. Now, preachers nationwide are preaching stuff that folk laughed at you about, but you was on the right track. But it was a revelation in your heart. It wasn't even in the atmosphere. And here's the thing you have to understand, Bishop Mitchell, Apostle Mitchell, and Elect Lady Mitchell. This is what you have to understand. There's some things that came to the kingdom of God atmosphere because you birthed it out of your heart. There's some stuff I'm not talking about in Muncie. I'm talking about in the kingdom of God. There's some stuff that happened because God deposited something in you and you took a chance to go with it. And I honor you for that. Let me move to verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me, my brethren, not my enemies, but my brethren. David said, I could have took it if it was an enemy, but it was somebody I took sweet counsel with. It was my brothers. It was folk I looked up to. It was folk that I respected. But God didn't give them the revelation. He gave it to you. And so Caleb said, nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. I love my brothers. I appreciate my brothers. But I keep feeling God pushing me in this direction. I don't want to disassociate myself with my brothers, but I got to wholly follow the Lord. I remember times talking to my dad and him trying to explain what he was doing. And all he would say, I'm just trying to follow God. I don't know it all, Andre. I'm just trying to follow God. I can't explain it all. I'm just trying. In other words, he was saying, I'm wholly following God the best way I know how. God hasn't opened up the whole picture. I'm just giving the best I know how. I'm wholly following God. Could his ministry been bigger? Had he fit the mold? Yes. He was Jesse Duplantis in our area before Jesse Duplantis was around. He would preach and make you laugh before that, but God gave him a revelation that was counter to the culture, and he stepped into it. God told him about going into the streets and ministering to prostitutes and crack addicts and substance abuse people and the homeless folk. He could have been doing something else. He could have had a bigger car, a bigger ministry, but he was going the way God told him to go. And here is his testimony. I wholly followed the Lord. My God. So let's bring it to my first point. I hear in my spirit, I hear him say, I did my part. I did all I know to do. One thing I do appreciate about my father and my mother, they will talk about where they were wrong. They will say, hey, I thought this is what about. I did the best I can. But when I take up all their wrongs and I maximize it, I couldn't even get close to their rights. If I took their wrongs and I multiplied them by 1,000, I wouldn't even get a tenth of what they did right. Let me stop and pause. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody is mad at your mama and you mad at your daddy for all they didn't get right, but they brought you to this earth. And if they didn't get nothing right, the fact that you're living and breathing, you ought to thank God that somebody brought you here. And you still have the activity of your limbs. You still have your right mind. You still have a pep in your step and a praise in your spirit. They did their part. So Caleb was talking and he said, for when I was 40, I did what I could. I did my part. Let's go to the next verse. This is verse 9. It says, so Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. Now, Caleb said he followed God, but Moses spoke. It's one thing for you to say you follow God. It's another thing when other folk speak up for you and say, one thing I know about him, as a man, follow God. I really don't like this testimony because it shows the negativity of marriage, but not marriage, but the negativity of ministry. But I just want to just throw it in there. There was a time where there was a lady who was in McDonald's, and she told everybody that Elder Mitchell, some people call him Elder Mitchell, raped me. This is what ministry is about. People will lie on you for absolutely no reason. Demonic lies, folk that you have helped and done stuff for. But here's the thing. He has such a reputation that when she said it, someone said, I don't believe that. You can sell me a lot of things, but I don't believe that. Then she changed the story. He raped me with his eyes. Really? Come on. Really? But when you walk the way of God, even when folk try to scandalize your name, somebody will stand up and say, I don't accept it. That's a man after God's own heart. That's a woman after God's own heart. They may not be perfect, but I don't believe that. What I know about them is they follow the Lord. All right, so let me go to this point. This point number two. I was promised an inheritance. This is what Caleb's saying. Caleb said, when I was 40 years old, I got this task to go and check out. I came back with a good report. Everybody else had bad report. It was only me and Joshua had a good report. And in that moment, I was promised an inheritance. Let's look at John 14, 10. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. I want to say that again. You understand why I came to this scripture. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. When God put it in my heart, I was 40. And I got a promise when I was 40. I'm now 85. I still don't have the promise, but one thing I recognize, God kept me alive these 45 years. Oh, I'm trying not to go too fast, but I want you to understand God kept you alive for such a time as this. God held you together for such a time as this. God brought you through for such a time as this. He kept you alive because your ladder will be greater than your past. Verse 11. As yet, this is what Caleb said. And in this message, Caleb is both Royce and Joyce, both apostle and elect lady, both bishop and Mother Mitchell. They are speaking as the voice of Caleb. And here, 45 years later, this is what Caleb says. As yet, I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. The first day the revelation came in my heart, but 45 years later, I'm as strong as I was then. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. I hate to announce to the devil, not hate, but I have to announce to the devil, this is not a retirement celebration. This is not a celebration for people going off the scene.
But this is a celebration for somebody who's strong and still has battle in their spirit and still has the heart to war and still has the heart to fight and still has the heart to preach and still has a mind to tell the devil, you get thee behind me, Satan. I'm still strong. Put it up. This is my other point. I'm still strong. I've been lied on, but I'm still strong. I've been talked about, but I'm still strong. I've been broke, but I'm still strong. I don't know which way is up some days, but I'm still strong. I've been waiting 45 years, but I'm still strong. Before y'all do it, I want you to do it. Look at your wife and say, I'm still strong. Oh, wife, look at your husband and say, I'm still strong. Now y'all look at your neighbor and say, I'm still strong. The devil tried to depress me, but I'm still strong. The devil tried to knock me over, but I'm still strong. I cried through the night, but I'm still strong. I almost lost my mind, but I'm still strong. They lied on me, but I'm still strong. I still got some strength. I still got some fight in me. I still got some power. I still got some revelation. I'm still strong. Tell your name, I'm still strong. I'm still strong. I'm still strong. I don't need no Viagra either. I'm still strong. Got praise in my spirit. Got a praise on the inside. Still strong. I'm like Muhammad Ali. Some of these 45 years, I've been laying on the ropes. Some of these 45 years, I've been taking shots. And it looked like I wasn't going nowhere. But I had the rope-a-dope method. I had the rope-a-dope mentality. I'm going to let the devil wear himself out. And when the devil get good and tired, when the devil get tired of hearing my name, that's when I'm going to come off the ropes with power. I'm going to come off the ropes with love. Come off the ropes with joy. Come off the ropes with peace. Come off the ropes with anointing, because I'm still strong. Still strong. Still strong. Still strong. Still strong. Still strong. Been waiting these 45 years, but he kept me alive. Because I'm still strong. But here's the thing. Put my next point up. And I still want it. I'm not just strong so I can sit on the porch and say, I'm so glad God blessing everybody else. No, 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 baby. I'm still strong and I still want it. I still want everything God promised me. I don't care how late it gets in my life. I still want it. I still want men delivered. I still want crack taken out of folks' mouth. I still want prisoners to come out of jail. I still want it. I want everything God promised. I want everything God said. It's been 45 years. I'm still strong and I still want it. One of the tricks of the enemy is the later we get in life, we feel like certain dreams, we got to go ahead and bury it. There's no way it can happen now because it's been too long. But I heard like God told Sarah when she laughed and said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? You might be older, but you still want it. I might be older, but I still want my baby. I still want what God promised me. I'm still strong, and I still want it. Want it. Want what belongs to me. Because I fought too hard, and I fought too long. And let me jump just real quick, and let me talk to you just quickly about civil rights. And so when 2010 hit, I was in Bible study. And I was beginning to talk about 2010. I was preparing for a Bible study. And the Lord told me to tell the people that 2010 was 50 years from 1960. And he told me to tell them for the next 10 years, we're going to see like what we saw in the civil rights era. Now, it was okay for me to prophesy because I wasn't on Sunday morning. It was Wednesday night. There's only three folk there. So I got bold and prophesied. But I didn't even know if I was saying it myself, I didn't really understand it. But as we begin to move from 2010 and 11 and 12, and you see that civil rights era where we still got to fight for what we want, and we still got people that try to put us down by the color of our skin, and we still have a president who's as backwards and as racist can be to be in the office. I'm not saying he's totally racist, but he's too racist to hold the office that he holds. But I don't care who's in office, I'm still strong and I still want it. I might get on a picket line, I might march, I still want what belongs to me. Devil, you can't stop it. Devil, you can't push me back. I still want what's mine. What God has for me. And I still want it. I still want it. I don't know what you want, but Pastor, I've been bankrupt, but you still need to want it. Well, Pastor, I've been divorced, but you still need to want it. I don't care what you've been through. You got to be like Caleb. I'm still strong, and I still want it. Just about finished. That brings me to verse 12. I like how Joshua said it. I don't need even the full verse. But Joshua 14:12a says it like this. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. In other words, you promised me something 45 years ago. And I'm not going to come through my 45 celebration happy about a couple dollars in the bucket. I thank God for everything that was given to you, but it's not about that. It's about you standing in your house on Elgin and pointing to the north, south, the east, and the west and saying, give me that mountain. Give me what belongs to me. Give it to me. I'm not talking about when you're 15 and you're praying and you don't have no business talking to God and trying to command God. You don't know enough scriptures to command God. But when you've been standing for 45 years, you can say, command thou me. God waiting for you to open your mouth and say, give me that mountain. You ought to stand in your bedroom and say, give me Muncie, Indiana, and give me Indiana State, and give me the USA, and give me Kenya, Africa, and give me Ghana, Africa. I still want what's mine. Give me this mountain. Why? Because it was promised. It was promised. I'm going to come off of the honoree for a second. I don't know what God has promised you. I don't know how long it's taken, but it's time for you to get your macho back. Get your mojo back and look the devil square in his face and say, I'm taking what belongs to me. Here's the thing. If you don't take it, he's going to fight you. So you might as well fight him taking it. If I stay still, he gonna beat me. But if you're gonna beat me, you're gonna beat me taking this mountain. I'm going, I'm getting what belongs to me. Now, because of grace, there's some things already available to us. There's some things that God has already put in our cupboard. But here's the thing, he put it there, but he don't have to give it to you. Because he gave you eternal life. That's enough for you to be happy. But he said he put some promises. Mother Woods used to sing a song, said, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. See, you already have eternal life. So if you want to have eternal life and be broke, that's up to you. But if you see prosperity laying over there, and you don't need prosperity in heaven. I don't need my bills paid in heaven. I need my bills paid right now. And so it's up to you. What do you want? If you want to die and go to heaven broke, bless you. Because there's nothing wrong with you choosing that if that's what you want. But if that's not what you want, you got to say, before I get out of here, there's some stuff I'm going to get. I'm getting my prosperity.